is it, people. Let's move. Let's go, 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 go.
Wow, wow, wow. We've got an emergency podcast. This is No Dunks on the Athletic Network. Shout out to the stream teamers joining us live right now on YouTube. We just wrapped up a beach stepping podcast right at the end of it. Oh, Harden been traded. Okay, here we are. We got the emergency pod. I'm Skeets. We got Tass. We got Trey. We got Lili. We got JD. I think we even have, correct me if I'm wrong, we've got the Southern lawyer with us.
We got ourselves a Trey.
Yeah, you can pluralize that, Mr. Southern Lawyer. We got a lot happening here. Let's break it all down. The Brooklyn Nets have won the James Harden sweepstakes, acquiring him in a blockbuster deal here. That includes the Cleveland Cavaliers and then eventually the Indiana Pacers when it comes to the Rockets. So I'll do my best to present this trade or trades to all of you out there. The Nets are getting James Harden. Okay, that's an easy part. Nice. Check. The Rockets got, at first, Caris LeVert, Kurix, Dante Exum, 4 first-round picks, and 4 pick swaps, all right? Now, a lot of those coming by way of Brooklyn, of course, but then the Rockets are also getting Cleveland's 2022 first-round pick by way of the Bucks. The Cavs, for their trouble, they're getting Jared Allen and Torian Prince. Hey, not bad. But then, the Pacers get in on the fun. This was the big swerve. Shams was dropping this one. Suddenly, the Rockets were trading Caris LeVert, who they obviously had just acquired in this Harden deal, and they were shipping him to the Pacers for Victor Oladipo. A second rounder also went with LeVert to Indiana. So, again, Tass, fact check me, my man. The Nets add Harden. The Rockets add Oladipo, Exum, Kurix, and a number of unprotected first-round picks, and then another Cleveland first round pick by way of the Bucks, and then a bunch of pick swaps. The Cavs get Jared Allen and Torian Prince, and the Pacers get Caris LeVert, and I guess a second round pick, if I have that right. Wow, where do you want to start?
Wow, all I care about is the Brooklyn Nets. They are the favorite in the Eastern Conference. Lock it in. They're definitely the favorite, especially in a year where it's kind of up and down. The Bucks are sort of mediocre at this point. The Celtics haven't been incredible. The Heat haven't been incredible. Brooklyn, yeah, you're going to say, well, can they stop anybody? You know what? That's a fair question, but I don't think it really matters with this team. The weird thing is with this team, they are already fourth. They already had the fourth best offense in the league. Can they get any freaking better? Well, yeah, they got James Harden now. They're going to run out. Kyrie, KD, James Harden, and then Joe Harris most likely, and probably DeAndre Jordan because he's always starting with the Brooklyn Nets. Depth may be an issue a little bit, but you know they still have enough guys coming off the bench. I think we saw Bruce Brown starting with Landry Shamet, Jeff Green, Luau Cabarro. That's a squad, and I think when they want to step up and play some defense, they can. James Harden, as much as people joke about him playing on the defensive end, when he wants to play some defense, when it comes to the playoffs, after he's chilled enough, he can be a guy who does enough on the defensive end to be passable. KD is the same. He can be a very good defender. I think offensively, I think they're going to work really well. James Harden, when he said, I'm leaving Houston, was comfortable being, you know, a second fiddle type of guy. He knew that he needed to be that guy to win a championship. And now they have a great opportunity. Especially with, you know, the Bucks being together for the first year together, this iteration of their team. So, you know, they're, you know, somewhat fresh too. I think they're clearly the number one team in the Eastern Conference now.
Do you think Kyrie signed with the Brooklyn Nets though to be the third fiddle, third option? And by the way, he's not even there right now. We don't even know if he's going to play basketball anymore because now we're seeing some other crazy reports going around NBA Twitter with what's going on and how upset he is. Maybe with the Nets front office and they didn't address him or come to him and talk about coaching and all that. I mean, I just asked that, like, they just lost their third and fourth best player in Caris LeVert and Jared Allen. And their second best player is not there. And we don't know when he's coming back and if he's even going to play basketball again. I'm with you. They just got James Harden. Hell of a combo. Forget Kyrie for a second. James Harden, Lee, and Kevin Durant. You know, damn good. We've seen that work before and go all the way, of course, to a finals before when they were super young. They're much older now. But do you agree with Tass that Well, the Nets are the favorites right now, even if you take Kyrie out of the equation.
Well, maybe, possibly. Yeah, I want to see it out on the court first because there's a couple of questions that still need to be answered. One of them is we're going to see now what kind of attitude James Harden brings to Brooklyn. If he's the James Harden of last 5 years, then immediately they're a much better team. But if he's the James Harden of the last month or so, then it's going to take a little bit of time for him to adjust here. And also, I wonder if this Kyrie situation prompted the Nets to go for it right now as almost like, you know, this is almost like an insurance policy because who knows what is happening here with Kyrie Irving? Because we heard the Nets were interested in James Harden, of course, at the start. Then they seemed to cool off a little bit because things got off to a reasonable start for them. And now this situation with Kyrie has made them maybe think, you know what, let's get James Harden because we need a star player, certainly while we have Kevin Durant here. So I think the Nets did the right move. I mean, we always talk about it. You want the star talent and the star player, and there's no question James Harden is a star talent and a star player, but he's got a bit of an attitude problem at the moment. You can easily just sort of shrug that off and say, now he's in a situation where he goes instantly to a contender, and we know that when he's at his best, he's clearly one of the top 5-10 players in the league, whatever you want to put him in there. So this is a great day, I think, here for the Brooklyn Nets because they got themselves a better team. They've cost themselves some of the young players, and certainly they've mortgaged the future in order to do that. But in the NBA, stars win, and James Harden is a proven star, even if he has a little bit of a reputation for not necessarily performing deep into the playoffs. But now he's probably on the best team that he's ever been on, I think, if everyone is on the court, when you look at Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. So, yeah, this is Brooklyn. You know, you spend all you can if there's star talent like that is available. They went out and got him, and now we just await to see what sort of result they get from this.
Right. I am not comparing James Harden to Paul Pierce and Kevin Durant near the end of their careers by any means, but we've seen the Nets trade years of draft capital before Trey, and it backfired. Again, this feels a little different in the player they've acquired, but what's your take, especially from the Nets side of things, as we make our way to the other teams here on this podcast?
Well, I think this is an awesome trade for basically every team, but for the Nets, you're right. They're giving away their future like they've done in the past, like they did for the Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, that kind of put them in the scenario they were before Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving showed up. But on the court, like Tass is saying, they did lose Caris LeVert. They did lose Jared Allen. Torian Prince is a rotation piece for them, but it seemed like they could have lost a lot more with regards to all the players they're losing. I think that Jared Allen is going to be the biggest loss, no doubt, for the Nets, just because he's their best defender, which leaves them now an even more offense-first team. But like Caris LeVert, when you replace him with James Harden, Caris LeVert wasn't going to be getting touches anyways. But someday, Spencer Dinwiddie is going to be back on this team. They're still going to be able to be active in the buyout market. They're still going to be able to acquire some helpful pieces. Not to mention, you've seen some decent performances so far from a guy like TLC. Jeff Green did all right as a small ball five in the playoffs last year. We'll see how it turns out. This is a team that is going to play absolutely no defense. I love it. I love it. You're kidding me. We got James Harden and Kyrie Irving on the same team wearing tie-dye. This is a team made for me right now, Skeets. I can't wait to see how it happens. Are they going to be the Nets champs by 2021? Count on it? I don't know. I don't know, Slam Magazine, but right now I'm with Tass. I do think they are going to be the favorites in the Eastern Conference. James Harden, he's not in his prime right now. He was in his prime last year when he was competing for the MVP. How much does this motivate him? Does it motivate him to be an MVP like he was? That would be awesome for the Nets. Or does it motivate him anymore to be even more committed to playing team basketball, to playing a little defense, to moving on the other side of the ball, now that he's the second fiddle next to Kevin Durant? Because I guess Kevin Durant's the number one. I don't know. At least they have a relationship. You saw him be a little bit more sharing with Russell Westbrook when he was there. You know, he was happy to kind of mold his talents around Westbrook in Houston. Maybe the relationship plays a factor. It'll be interesting to see how those two get along. It'll be interesting to see the first time Kevin Durant really needs to get on James Harden to tell him, hey, man, you need to bust your ass. You need to play some defense. You need to cut when I have the ball. Because Durant has the status to be able to tell James Harden what to do. Nobody has had that status in Houston. Even when they brought in Chris Paul, a legendary guy, he was coming to James Harden's team. Things are different now. I don't know what kind of James Harden the Nets are getting, but they gave up a ton to get him. They got their guy. Let's see how it plays out. Can't wait.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we thought James Harden was going to be reunited with Daryl Morey, and in the end, it's Mike D'Antoni that he's reunited with in the Brooklyn, you know, a part of the Steve Nash's coaching tree there, or team in Brooklyn. Crazy, crazy stuff. You guys are high, very high, it sounds like, on the Brooklyn Nets.
Are you not? How can you not be?
I'm not as high as you guys are. I'm not. I'm because look, there is a very weird cloud question mark surrounding Kyrie Irving and his role in all of this, and whether he's going to be there, and can he work with these guys. That to me is concern. Oh yeah, and stopping anyone, bit of an issue. But no, you got, look, they got three guys on their team, just like the Warriors had it once upon a time. If you wanted to put Clay in there, who we know could catch fire and go for it, they got three guys that can go for 50, if not 60, you know, in any game when they're all healthy, in KD, Harden, and Kyrie if he's playing. But you do got to get some stops. But look, I hear what you guys are saying. When you look at the roster, I mean, you're putting a lot of faith in DeAndre Jordan, a lot. To be an impact player for them and start for them, by the sounds of it, unless Jeff Green gets that as a small ball five. And Bruce Brown and TLC.
I understand the DeAndre Jordan concerns and the fact that they traded Jared Allen, but when it comes down to it, Kevin Durant's going to be playing five when it really matters for the Nets, right? And he's a great defender when he's locked in as a five.
Yeah, if they could do the old Anthony Davis, hey, well, with the Lakers, when it's winning time and it matters, yeah, you got to play the five. Yeah, they're going to do that with KD. The guy's coming off obviously a major injury. He's going to sound like he's going to start playing back to backs even as early as tonight here against the Knicks. You don't want to ask too much of him, I don't think. But look, I'm not as in love with this. They gave up a lot. They gave up actually way more than even I thought they were going to have to give up. Especially when you go into the picks. That's 7 full years, basically, that they're giving up for this opportunity.
The Brooklyn Nets have to do that. Every 5 years, it's mandatory that they have to.
I guess so.
Empty the cupboard to try and go for it.
But you wonder if the Rockets were just calling up the Nets and saying, listen, the Sixers are going to give us Ben Simmons and who knows what else they're going to give up. And so it's like, if you want him, you can have him, but you're going to have to match this offer. And we want these unprotected picks. And if you're Steve Nash and Mike D'Antoni and Sean Marks, you're like, why not? You know, if he's going to be moved somewhere, we want to get that talent on our roster rather than a direct opponent in the Eastern Conference who's probably going to make them better. So I just wonder now, I mean, it was fairly obvious that Ben Simmons was, the Sixers were prepared to trade him. That locker room now is probably going to be a little bit awkward there with, certainly between him and Daryl Morey, you would think, because it seems like last night Ben Simmons got some sort of word that he was involved in trade talks. And then this afternoon, that's what we thought the deal was going to be. It looked like it was going to be Houston and Philadelphia. And so now that's fallen through and it goes to Brooklyn. So we'll see how those things play out. But this is fascinating because, you know, James Harden has gotten his wish. He's gotten to a team that is a legitimate contender, and he's playing with a former teammate. And like Trey was saying there, when he was in Houston, when they brought in Dwight Howard, when they brought in Chris Paul, when they brought in Russell Westbrook, those guys were brought in, you know, to complement James. Now he's going to a situation where there's no question Kevin Durant's the best player on that team. And Kevin Durant is the one who's like, listen, you know, we dance to the beat of my drum. I run the show here. So it's going to be interesting to see if James Harden can accept being the second player on a team, because he hasn't had to be that guy since he last played with Kevin Durant back in, 2012, I guess it was. But I think it can work. But who knows? These things, until you actually see them out on the court and it comes down to that last shot, who gets that last shot? How does that last those last plays play out? That's when we'll find out the real, the real test of this team.
But I think he's okay with it because he said, I want to go to Brooklyn. And he knows he's going to play with Kevin Durant. So I think he's good with it. And I think it's easy to forget that he was awesome for the first three games of the season when he balled out when he wanted to be. And he averaged 37 for three games. And, it's a little bit of a, hey, I'm done here. These last five games, just move me on. He hasn't lost his superpowers here at 31 years old. He's going to be good in Brooklyn. And the Kyrie Irving thing, it's a question mark, but you know, there's a few years ago where he didn't talk to his teammates for 2 months and they win a championship in Cleveland. Like there's some weird stuff going on for sure. But I don't think he's retiring. You know, I don't think he's taking Stephen A. Smith's advice and hanging him up. I think he's still going to play for the Brooklyn Nets. And I think he's got to say, well, man, our team is fantastic now. What, am I going to walk away? I can literally win a championship this season. But yeah, I guess stranger things have happened. Well, I don't even know if stranger things have happened. Thinking about it, just walking away. I mean, this is a great opportunity for those guys, and yeah, they've gone all in. And it's a big task for Steve Nash. There's no doubt. Steve is one of the Steve coaches here that we thought Steve Kerr had a big task when he signed up in 2015 or 2014, I should say. And this Steve, he's got a tall task too, but I don't know. They're older players too here, you know? So they know what they want. They know what they need to get it done. And JaVale McGee was the starting center on a multiple championship teams. You know, if DeAndre Jordan's starting, you know, they find a way. And the buyout market is available. So I think they figure it out here with a decent team. even if, yeah, they definitely, you know, the cupboard is bare and they gave away a lot of their rotation players, but they still have plenty right now. I think they're the clear number one right now.
But the Lakers did that as well to get Anthony Davis. The Clippers did it to get Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. I mean, teams realize, like, you've got to sort of try to get those players while you
it's
can.
It's nothing
you
new know, it's, for a team to no. give up 5 or 6 or 7 years of draft capital to get a star. Yeah. I'm not saying that's an issue. I'm just saying, come on, let's not pretend that this could be volatile with some of those, obviously, the personalities that we're putting all together. It could work beautifully. Maybe Steve Nash and Mike D'Antoni and they all figure it out. But you're right, there's a hell of a lot of pressure now. The good thing is they have Harden under contract here. You know, it's not like you got to win right now. Now, that's what the goal is going to be. But, you know, he's under contract for a couple of years. So mm-hmm. you're sort of locked in with, obviously, two elite scorers. And then wherever Kyrie falls into this mix. Yeah, I just think I just could see where it could get nasty in a hurry or confusing in a hurry again. But maybe not. Maybe not. I'm pumped. I love when this stuff happened. I love craziness. Everything was happening here on NBA Twitter. Let's like pivot to the Rockets sort of like get here. I guess maybe that's where I'm a little disappointed from the Rockets side of things. I was very high on Caris LeVert. I was very high on Jared Allen. And in the end, the Rockets don't get either of those guys. But of course, they get Oladipo, which is funny because if you remember, you know, I was talking, I think it was last week, you know, pointing out that I see a comparison possibly between Caris LeVert and Oladipo before he went to Indiana, when he was the Thunder. And like, wow, given a bigger role, maybe this guy like Caris LeVert could be like Oladipo pre-injury turning into like an all-NBA player. I think it's there. So now this is like the perfect litmus test to this, because now LeVert is literally replacing Oladipo in Indiana and the Rockets get Oladipo. What do you think, Trey? Let's start with you with the Rockets coming out of this. Obviously, it's focused on a lot of the picks. That's huge. But what about the player in Oladipo?
The picks are huge. And to me, it shows that the Rockets ultimately valued picks over players, which is a smart move considering all the draft assets that have been shipped out when Daryl Morey was still out there in the Chris Paul and the Russell Westbrook trade. So getting what? I think people are calling it 9 first rounders. Maybe it's only 8 first rounders. It's kind of hard to tell at this point. We'll see how things work out with the swaps. They've got their draft back, which is crazy to think that at the end of last season, we're like, what are the Rockets ever going to do? Now they're back. And you know, the John Wall trade has worked out for them. At the very least, he looks like he's going to be a starting point guard still, at least a guy that you can roll out there and be competitive. He's got a chip on his shoulder. Christian Wood is good. And Victor Oladipo, he's going to give him a little bit more juice off the ball, especially considering James Harden wasn't giving him that juice. The question will be, is he going to be there long term? I don't know. I mean, we'll see how it plays out, because right now that would mean you are the Rockets and you're building around John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, and Victor Oladipo, all guys who have missed significant time with injuries over the past couple of years. That's a question, but when you've got your draft back, I think that certainly helps. Getting this return for Harden is what they were trying to get after. You know, they wanted a young guy. Surely they would have loved to have Caris LeVert and the stability of having his contract for the next couple of seasons. But Victor Oladipo's a perfect throw-in to get when you're shipping out an MVP caliber player.
Yeah, what do you think, Tass? How the Rockets did in this crazy day?
Well, yeah, I agree with you. It would have been a nice a nice pivot to get a Jared Allen on the roster, but they do have Christian Wood. They're very happy with him. And I love me some Caris. But we have seen nice flashes of Victor Oladipo. And, you know, it's an interesting move right now. Like, right as we're talking here, they get Victor Oladipo for a few months, and then Victor Oladipo becomes a free agent. And Victor Oladipo, he's playing for between what? You know, someone's going to sign him to at the base a $10, $12, $15 million deal, or if he looks amazing, somebody could sign him to a max. So this is a huge showcase for Victor Oladipo. You know, he's one of he's such a unique player in the NBA. Just the way he moves out there, he's fun to watch. But I wonder, as far as players go, how that's all going to shake down. You got John Wall playing, handling the ball. Victor Oladipo's going to want to get paid. That's just an interesting experiment for the next few months. But as Trey said, it doesn't really matter. They got all this draft capital. They're looking towards the future. And it's not so much what you pick from those draft picks, what those result into, or what those result in terms of players. But sometimes to move those picks is the important part. Because, yeah, there are a lot of them are Brooklyn's picks, and Brooklyn plans to be good, so they should be in the 20s. But you can swap those, you know, at some point. Mm-hmm. You cash in on those babies. They had to do something like that because the cupboard was absolutely bare. I think I would have liked it if it was a Jared Allen or a Caris LeVert a little bit more. But at the same time, that's as many picks that you can possibly get. We are not draft experts on this show, but they got four picks and four draft swaps. I mean, the maximum is usually seven, but they got one, you know, via Milwaukee there. So they maxed out. That's all you should desire as a GM. If you're Raphael Stone in that position there, you gotta fill the cupboard. And they did just that. That's how you gotta build the team. It might not be great for the Rockets these next few months, but long term, that's what he had to do.
I hope we find out details leak, Lee, of what the Sixers were willing to offer, how far they were willing to go. Let's assume Simmons is there. Okay, he's the building block. But then what else was it, right? You're guessing the Rockets are saying, no, we want Tyrese Maxey, we want Thybulle, and we want a bunch of picks. And my gut says, I'm not going off anything here. I'm not plugged in like Shams, but I'm willing to bet that Morey was like, we're not doing both. Okay, we're not doing both to get James Harden here. We'll go young guys, maybe a Thybulle, maybe even a Maxey, sure. But we're not also like going to get you even more picks, giving up all our future picks that we have. It's one or the other, man. And, I that's what I think probably happened here. But then that leads me to my question of, would you rather have Ben Simmons at the end of the day and less picks lately than Oladipo entering free agency and what they made out with here?
It's a good question, because I think Simmons is the better player than Victor Oladipo, but Victor Oladipo, it goes to a good situation because he's pretty much the most valuable free agent coming into the 21-22 season. I mean, there's guys like Kawhi Leonard. I'm taking him off the table because I think he'll probably sort of stay with the Clippers. I'm saying of those players who could move around and really use this opportunity to show other teams that he's healthy and can still be potentially an all-star player. This is a great situation for him because he's going to be playing alongside John Wall and he's going to get a real opportunity because he's been okay so far for Indiana. He hasn't been playing back-to-backs, but that's more sort of to do with recovering still from his injury. So it's a great situation for him, and the Rockets kind of get the first look to see if he is someone that they want to invest in long-term. Do you want to give him a five-year, $100 million contract? Maybe someone will. You know, we always see these sort of things, and it depends on how desperate a team is. So he's still young enough that I think he can still bring that value to a team. So it's good for the Rockets. And you know, Ben Simmons, I think Ben Simmons, the problem he has made himself right now is that he's not untradeable for a young guy. He should be sort of untradeable because he's young and he's athletic and he's quick and he's strong, but he hasn't developed that offensive game, that shot, that has made him untouchable. And so that's probably why the Sixers were like, yeah, you know, we're prepared to trade him. He's a good player, very good player, but maybe we can get something better than him. And that's what maybe caused the talks there between the Sixers and the Houston Rockets at the Philadelphia 76ers with Daryl Morey. They're like, I think he's good, but I don't think we are a contender right now. We need James Harden to take us to a different level. So, the prospect for Ben Simmons, it's still a young player, is what teams want. You know, a young all-star player already, great defensive player, an all-NBA caliber player. That's what you want. But he just still has some things on his game to work on to make him a true superstar player, which I don't think he is just yet. Oladipo, you know, the questions about him are, did he have one really good season, or did that injury really set him back? That's the real question now, because Oladipo was great there for Indiana when he did make the all-star team, then suffered that nasty injury and hasn't been able to reach that level yet. But he's still young enough and he's still got time to do that. The Pacers clearly thought he wasn't a part of their future, so he goes to Houston now where he can prove things to some people that it's like, hey, I'm still the sort of guy that you can give that huge contract to, and he's going to use this opportunity, I guess, for the remainder of this season to prove that to other teams going in, as I say, to a season where the free agents outside of Kawhi Leonard, you already know he's a superstar. Everyone's going to want him. Chris Paul, a little bit older. Blake Griffin, a little bit older, not as effective. Then it's guys like Oladipo who other teams will look at and decide whether or not he's a part of their future.
What a huge sigh of relief, though, for the Rockets here, just in dealing James Harden. I mean, a nightmare it was becoming, the way he was playing. Obviously, all the teammates turning on him in post-game interviews, and him obviously giving up on the team. I'm not saying he's not at fault, but it must be for Stone and for Steven Silas, his first year coaching, to like...
Another Steve!
Now, yeah. I can at least coach like a team. I mean, it's Wall, Oladipo, yeah. Eric Gordon, PJ Tucker, we thought might be included in a James Harden trade. He's still there as of now. Christian Wood, you know, the Rockets on paper, everybody healthy. It's not a bad five right there. And by any means, I'm not saying that's a championship contender, but that's a pretty good team, I think, still. So, yeah, it'll be fascinating to see. The Rockets wanted what they told us was obviously a young franchise cornerstone. And then a boatload of picks. Yeah, and you're doing that, Trey. It's like, Oladipo, is he possibly still a youngish franchise cornerstone or not? That'll be the big question mark of whether they continue to sign him. I would think they have plans to move forward with him if he plays the way he's been playing for Indiana, but we'll see. They got the boatload of picks. That's for damn sure. They made out on those. I had people on Twitter last night telling me nobody's going to trade picks for James Harden right now. What the hell are you guys talking about? Come on. Yes, they are. He's mailing it in. He's pouting. He wants to be traded. They're going to trade a lot of picks for him. Just like Drew Holiday, for crying out loud, got like 3 picks for him. If he got that, James Harden's going to get more.
Don't check the replies, Skeets. Don't check the replies.
No, these are people that I respect. I appreciate. I couldn't believe they were coming
Name
back.
Name them. Name those names right
man,
now.
Our man Ron Benson. Boom, though, baby. Former colleague at Yahoo Sports, former NBA player. He had a cup of coffee, right, in the NBA? I think he did, and obviously played overseas, had some success. He was just saying, like, I don't know if there's going to be all that many picks included in a James Harden trade. Yeah, there are. That's what the Rockets want. They're telling teams, go get me a ton, and you might get James Harden. And don't worry, he won't be 18 points per game and having all those pregame meals. You're going to get the old James Harden. Mm-hmm. All right, you'll be fine. Mm-hmm. And that's what I do believe that. There, you know, I think the Nets, we talked about it on this morning's podcast. You're going to get James Harden of old. He's not going to be brutal like he is just walking through games like a little zombie right now and pouting. He's not going
to
do that.
No, he was awesome to start the season, but the Rockets took it right to the line. Right, like this could have gotten ugly. It could have gotten like Anthony Davis a couple of years ago. That's all, folks. Like they could have been that really soon. Yesterday, James Harden walked out of the press conference, but I appreciate how far they took it. I mean, they created a little drama, but they didn't mess up their franchise by any means. And yeah, there's guys like John Wall saying it's terrible when you're in a basketball situation and somebody doesn't want to be there. We just can't move forward. You know, John Wall is speaking a good game. So, you know, this is his opportunity. He is saying the right things. This is his opportunity to help lead a team. This just made the NBA way more intriguing, even with the Rockets to be a playoff team, obviously with the Nets and the other teams that got involved here. It's a friggin' blast. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what the Rockets do and if Vic can be Vic. But yeah, Harden's gonna be Harden. I love how everybody says, well, James Harden can play defense in the playoffs. Remember, he blocked that shot to win a game. Yes, he did. But I think he can play enough alongside those other guys. They're gonna motivate each other. We're gonna see him lollygag in March. But when it comes to May and June to try and get his first ship, I think everything will be right in Brooklyn. Everybody will be on the same page.
And just to circle back very quickly to the Sixers, Lee, you said it could be maybe a little awkward, right? With Ben Simmons' name coming up in all these trade talks, and here he is as of now, still on the Sixers roster. Maybe he's still on the move. Maybe there's a Bradley Beal trade to be had where the Sixers pivot to that way. And maybe that ends up working even better for them. We're not done here. The NBA season's already been insane, so there could be more trades coming. I'm just chucking that out there. Trey, of the other two teams that got in the mix here, the Pacers, like I said, getting Caris LeVert, and the Cavs getting Jared Allen and Torian Prince. Of these two teams that sort of came out of left field, let's be honest, which one of them, or maybe both of them, impressed you most with what their haul here on a Wednesday?
Well, Skeets, my 2021 motto has been pure positivity, which is why I think there are 4 winners for this trade. Every team did great. Like, I love what the Pacers did to swoop in and get Caris LeVert, because the question was going to be, what's going on with Victor Oladipo this whole season? They're replacing him with Caris LeVert, who is signed already to a couple extra years on his deal. So you know he's going to be around. You know he's likely, that contract he's on is likely going to be cheaper than what they would have had to pay Victor Oladipo if he wanted to stay around. He gives them similar stuff to what Oladipo would be doing, playing a little bit off the ball, but mostly able to get a bucket with the ball in his hands. It's going to be perfect for him to fit alongside. I feel like he's a high IQ player, which would fit nice next to Malcolm Brogdon and Domantas Sabonis. Eventually, they're going to bring TJ Warren back. The Pacers are looking a little bit dangerous. And then if you're the Cavs, you just swooped in and got Jared Allen for tossing away a future first-round pick out of nowhere. You got to love it. I mean, they've got a ton of big guys now. The Raptors should be calling the Cavs immediately to see if they can steal maybe a JaVale McGee, maybe even a Kevin Love, though I don't think he solves the defense issues. Yeah. But the Cavs, just to get Jared Allen when it didn't feel like they were really in the mix for anything, that's nice. He fits alongside the Sexland backcourt real nice for their future pieces going ahead. They need a nice wing, and then you're talking about a pretty solid nucleus there in Cleveland as well.
So you like it for all four teams, and thumbs up for the Pacers and the Cavs. What do you think, Tass? You agree with what Trey's saying here? Are you high on everybody, what they did here today?
Oh, yeah, let's go Moses Malone. I'm excited for everybody. The Pacers, perfect. Perfect move. Get a guy who signed long-term instead of Victor Oladipo in Caris LeVert. Can't beat that. I think Kobe Altman did fantastic to make out that way. I think we knocked it out of the park everywhere. The Rockets got everything they could for James Harden. The Nets, obviously, if things go south, then the picks are going to look terrible, and it's not going to be a repeat. There's no way it's going to be a repeat of Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett. No way. They've got two guys. Just sort of like entering their prime. I guess no. So I should say that. It's not. They're not that old, man. They're in their prime. It's just not going to happen.
Just don't put them on the cover of SI. Okay, that's what.
Yeah. No. I think the only disappointed team is Philly for not being able to make a move, and maybe they have another move. But
right.
To me, they started 7-1 this season without beating anybody good. Their biggest win was the best team that they beat. Yesterday. Against the Miami Heat, and that took a 45-point performance from Joel Embiid. Like their record was decent to start, but they haven't been impressive. And if you believe these rumors, which I think I do, they came in here. They've got two stars. Daryl Morey said, "I'm taking a year to watch these guys, see how they play." And he made a decision 10 games in that said, "Well, you know what? I think we'd be better with a more spaced floor for Joel Embiid." Sure feels that way, and I think they're the only ones who lost out because they couldn't space that floor for Joel Embiid with James Harden.
But maybe it will be Bradley Beal, as we talked about. Who knows? Who knows? Lele, what do you think of the Pacers and the Cavs in getting, you know, again, LeVert and Jared Allen are the big names here for these teams, respectively.
Yeah, really, really good for the Cavs. Jared Allen is a very talented player, and he's still young enough. I mean, he's still got to work on his game. But yeah, the Cavs' future is pretty bright. We've got to get the Sex Man and Darius back, though. They've both been injured. They had a great start to the season, but it's tailed off a little bit there. But definitely, I think the Cavs have got some more moves to make here because they've got such a glut of big guys. They've got some big contracts, and they want to move on from those. So I think that's going to happen. And the Pacers, did you say the Pacers? Yeah. Oladipo, it was a question whether or not they thought he was going to be a part of their future. The fact that they didn't really offer him a big contract when they could have, in the offseason was a sign that they were probably like, let's see what type of player he is, because down in the bubble, he was okay, not great. And then when he came back from injury last season, just before the shutdown, again, he showed flashes of being good, but not, I don't think, enough to convince the Pacers that they wanted to invest a huge deal, a huge contract in him. So they're going to try somebody else. And I think Caris LeVert, you know, is he one of those players that maybe we do overrate him just a touch, you know, because I think he's good. But he's also coming off an injury as well. So
If we do, he's going to the perfect spot because he's not going into the Indiana Pacers being the number one guy.
Yeah.
It's like we argue who's the all-star on the Pacers. Sabonis, or is it Brogdon? Because those guys are probably better than Caris LeVert. So
do they have enough basketballs to go around? You're talking about two All-Stars there. You're adding Caris LeVert. That's a high-usage guy. I'm not sure if it'll work out.
Yeah, we'll see what the fit is.
Miles Turner's banking on an All-Star.
That's great, though. He doesn't have to be like... You don't have to be like Caris LeVert. You got to be our 25 to 30 point per game scorer. You got to do that. Like, he can fit in a little more organically, a little freely, I think, with those guys being the better guys on the team. I don't think we underrate him. I actually think, again, to make the comparison, I think it's there that he's going to sort of blossom into an Oladipo guy pre-injury. Because you look at the numbers and the impacts they had in limited minutes You know, I'm talking about LeVert last year mainly, and even this year when now KD's in the mix and Kyrie. I see it. I think they're somewhat similar in a good way. I love what the Pacers did. And like Tass said, Oladipo was leaving. And they just got Caris LeVert, who I'm just telling you is a pretty damn comparable player, in my opinion. For what? He's under contract for like 3 more years at nothing. Like in today's NBA. Yeah. Like it's like $16, $17, $18 million. It's nothing. That's a great contract. I love the Pacers sliding in here and getting him in the mix. And I love Jared Allen as well. So I'm, you know, the Cavs have Drummond, Love, JaVale, Larry Nance is a big guy. Who else?
Thon Maker.
I think Thon got waived already.
Did he? Okay. Peace out, Thon.
Yeah, one of the odds.
But now, Jared Allen, they got five giant dudes. So, yeah, maybe they're not done wheeling and dealing.
Yeah. But that's the thing. Like, this deal, we never saw the Pacers and the Cavs coming into this. So, this was probably in the works, you know, for a couple of days here, I would say. I wouldn't say this has all just unfolded this afternoon. So, yeah, good for them to get two good players in LeVert and Jared Allen, because you would think that the Rockets would have wanted those talented players in return, but instead they just decided give us as many draft picks as we can possibly have here.
Yeah.
they got them. I mean, again, like you hold these teams to ransom, and I'm sure that Raphael Stone was on the phone saying, Daryl Morey's going to give us this, so it's up to you. It's up to you if you want it. Give us those picks.
Oh, you think it's like that classic photo of Joe Dumars with two phones?
Exactly.
Yeah, that was Stone today.
It has to be, doesn't it, really? I mean, we've seen that in the past, like out of the Deron Williams trade. That was the rumor as well, like the Knicks, basically the Jazz drove up the price to the Knicks saying, we're going to trade him to New York if you don't come through with the goods, and they do. So, you know, when teams are desperate, I mean, it would be really interesting to know if this Kyrie Irving situation wasn't playing out the way that it was, if that was still... You know, if the Nets were still going to make this move, because I mean, seeing Kyrie last night on the Zoom, I wonder if that was like, all right, we got to do something here. We don't know what the hell is going to happen with this guy for the rest of the season. Who knows? But
this guy, what do you mean that he was on his computer? I mean, what do you mean that he was on a Zoom?
What, you didn't see he was on the Zoom with the Well, I'm just saying the Nets probably don't know what they're getting out of Kyrie Irving, right? So they're
what's like, that communication line between
exactly.
the Nets
so
front
it's
office
like,
and Kyrie Irving right now? If is Kyrie it Irving, existent or
if Kyrie Irving took a game or two off for personal reasons and then he came back and he was fine, you know, that's I think why they hesitated on not making this move earlier. They wanted to sort of see if two stars were going to be enough rather than getting that third star in there. But now perhaps they're like, we're not sure if we've got the two stars right now because we're not really sure what Kyrie Irving is going
to...
And then add to that
Spencer Dinwiddie, of course, going out with an injury too, and what effect that had on us. Yeah, I think there's something there. This is crazy. Anything else to add to this exciting NBA day? Feels like the trade deadline, does it not, Trey? I mean, I feel like more moves are coming.
It definitely feels like more moves are coming because... This has everything. This has a little bit for everything. If you love super teams, you love this for the Nets. If you love a team that always wants to be competitive, put the best product out there, you love it for the Pacers. If you love a rebuilding project, you love it for the Houston Rockets. And if you love a weirdo team that can make some more moves, it's the Cleveland Cavaliers. There's got to be some sort of more trades out there, right? The market is open. There are imbalances now on rosters of where players are, so... It seems like people will be a-moving, and no dunks will be banging the classics out, no doubt about it.
Oh, my God. I feel like all I've done today is sit on this Zoom and talk to you guys about basketball.
Yeah, it's true.
We're gonna hang up here, and there will be like a Bradley Beal trade coming down the pipeline in an hour. I'll talk to you guys basically in an hour.
And we're not sitting here like Kyrie Irving with our hand, you know, caressing our chin.
No, he was just deep in thought.
I know. Kyrie Irving was. I think Kai's coming back, and they're gonna be totally fine. He's doing whatever he's doing, and yeah, the East is exciting. You know, I underestimate the Bucks every year, but they're gonna be there. I always, there's one team I don't really enjoy watching. Usually it's the Pacers because they're going to be good. But this year I'm in on the Pacers. I love watching them. And to add Caris LeVert when, you know, you're not going to be able to really reel in a huge free agent if you're Indiana. That's just the way it is. To play along with the team that's 7-4, winning on the road. And Miles Turner's playing the best Miles Turner he's ever been with 4 blocks per game. Like That's a team, man. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard.
You're so high on the Brooklyn Nets, I want to be a Dennis Schroeder right now and put a Benjamin on it. Would you bet right now on the Nets winning the title? $100?
Oh, title? Can we win the East first? You know.
You want to put that on the line?
Sure.
You'd put $100 on the Nets with Harden in the mix there, winning the Eastern Conference this year.
Yeah. I'd put it on. I mean, I'd probably get some good odds on it.
Hey, look me in the eye. Look me in the eye so we can.
Which camera should I look into?
Yeah. Look at me. I would take that bet. I'll take that bet. I'll bet against them going all the way to the finals. Sure.
Sure.
Benjamin.
Okay.
Virtual handshake, look in the eye. There we go. Let's make this juicy. All right, guys, let's call it there. Like I said, there'll be a trade in a mere hour after we record this anyway. Thanks for joining us live. I think we set some No Dunks records there in terms of people joining us live. So thank you so much. If you're new to No Dunks, well, subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Hit that little notification button so you know when we're going live, when these emergencies happen, and comment and like and do all that, share it with your friends. I think we hit 25,000 subs too on our YouTube page.
Oh, so. 25,000, old news, Skeets. 25.1, the new hotness.
Ooh, all right. Well, what's
Big
the
beef
next
volume goal? One on deck.
Oh yeah, I forgot we're dropping a weird roast beef video. Oh my goodness, what a day. So subscribe on YouTube, subscribe to No Dunks wherever you listen to our podcast. You can get us on The Athletic. Subscribe to The Athletic. My God, there's going to be about 10 amazing articles up on The Athletic in the next couple of hours. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks. You can get a subscription right now for $3.99 a month. So take advantage of that. If you go to that link, theathletic.com/nodunks, they know that we sent you. And if you want some No Dunks merch, I guess none of us... Oh, no, Lee, you got one on, right? Mm-hmm. You're rocking the No Dunks hoodie there. Go to nodunks.com if you want to grab that. Oh, there's the website right there. Great work, JD. Way to stay on
Holy
it, man.
Cow,
JD, you've been on the
goodness.
Zoom all day,
My
man.
Goodness.
Can't believe you're still listening to us talk about basketball. How you holding up, JD? Any final thoughts on this big blockbuster deal?
It's very exciting. I was monitoring Twitter, so I've just in case, I grabbed a couple of pseudo-tweets of the night. One was Dr. Ken Jeong congratulating the thingamajig on going to Houston. Thought that was kind of cute.
Yeah, the Masked Singer. Yeah, forgot that.
Yeah, and then this one, I hope they recreate this. This is Durant and Harden and Mom Made Pizza Rolls. If you're listening to the podcast, you're just going to have to check it out on YouTube. It's great stuff. Great. What a day.
Someone pointed out that the Browingtons are back together, right?
Oh, man, Jeff Green's there. That's wild.
Yeah, Jeff Green's of the Nets. So KD, Harden, and... Jeff Green, yeah, the Browingtons. I don't think Westbrook was not a part of the Browingtons.
No,
he wasn't broing down with the Browingtons. So, wow. So the Nets maybe just won the trade because they got the Browingtons back together. It might be enough as it is. Let's hear from you guys though, especially in the YouTube comments. Who do you think won the trade? Do you think all four teams made out well? Are you worried about the Nets, especially with the Kyrie situation? Let's hear from you guys. We'll be back tomorrow with some more classics. Because once a day, we go back to the Classic Factory task. You'll have what you need to know early tomorrow morning on Thursday. We'll get that up in podcast form and on YouTube. And then we'll have the Daily Show. Again, breaking this down in greater detail in the games tonight. Thanks for joining us, though. That was a blast. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And guys, I got to go. Danielle made pizza rolls.
Brace the day, people.